Streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Both major presidential candidates converging in swing state Pennsylvania Monday night. Vice President Kamala Harris in Erie.
He's talking about the enemy within our country, Pennsylvania. He's talking about that he considers anyone who doesn't support him or who will not bend to his will an enemy of our country.
Harris talking about former President Trump, who was just outside a Philadelphia rallying. Two attendees passed out from the heat.
I wish we could open those doors to outside.
But they couldn't for security reasons. Trump ended the audience Q&A, spoke for a few more minutes, and then stayed on stage as the crowd listened to music. Overnight, Trump began asking an appeals court to transfer his New York criminal case to federal court. A suspect under arrest in North Carolina accused of threatening FEMA workers, helping people recover from the recent hurricanes. This is ABC News. Six more people now coming forward accusing music mogul Sean Diddy Combs of sexual assault and abuse. The accusations coming in a string of new lawsuits. One man says he was just 16 when he was attacked. New moves in panda diplomacy between China and the U.S.
2 months after the San Diego Zoo received the country's first pandas in over two decades, the one that started it all will also get to continue its storied relationship with the world's cutest form of diplomacy. On Monday, the Smithsonian National Zoo, which started this exchange program with China in 1972, posted on social media that something, quote, giant was coming today via the FedEx Panda Express. In fact, they also stated that they would need to shut down the zoo as they welcome their new guests, Bao Li and Ching Bao.
ABC's Danny New. And in New York, in the baseball playoffs, the Yankees winning game one of the ALCS against the Guardians. Game two today, Mets tying up the NLCS with a win over the Dodgers. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Will my team make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. And she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Kamala Harris campaign is busy blitzing Wisconsin. Running mate Tim Walz stumped in Green Bay and Eau Claire Monday. First Lady Jill Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders were in Wisconsin too. Harris herself will be in Milwaukee, La Crosse, and Green Bay on Thursday. People in Southwest Wisconsin are learning how to talk to each other about politics. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
So many of us have experienced the awkwardness and frustration of a political argument during Thanksgiving dinner. A group of about two dozen people got together in Dodgeville to talk about how politics has hurt their relationships with family and loved ones. It was put together by a group called Braver Angels. A Marquette survey found 46% of people have had to just stop talking politics altogether with someone they know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks held on to beat the Bulls 111-107 last night in Milwaukee. It was the Bucks' first win this preseason. Head coach Doc Rivers talked about the Bucks' new guard, Gary Trent Jr., and his ability at blocking passes.
Gary has great hands, unbelievable hands. You know, it's funny. He got whatever he got, but he had five more today that he just couldn't get to the ball. But he's a disruptor.
Packers say despite missing a field goal Sunday, they'll stick with place kicker Braden Narveson for now. College football, the Badgers' top wide receiver Will Pauling did not suffer a concussion in their win over Rutgers. Will he be ready to play Saturday against Northwestern?
You know, obviously it would be a little bit questionable from the start of the week. I think that there was some good news in that there wasn't a concussion. It wasn't anything that maybe is major of some sorts. So we just got to see where he is and how he feels. And like I said, it's early on right now.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickle with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A little chilly again today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear and cold, our low 23. Tomorrow, sunny, becoming breezy, 57 by Thursday, sunshine, with a high climbing back up to near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I've got Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin's 2nd District. We're going to be talking about what's at stake for you economically in the upcoming election. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 15th, 21 days, 3 weeks until Election Day. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Network. And if you're listening over the Civic Media app or by podcast or on social media, we appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. What the hell happened in Pennsylvania last night at that Trump rally? We're going to review a tweet-by-tweet description of the bizarre scene coming up in just a moment, but here's what else is coming up on the program today. We're going to talk about national security. We're going to talk about rural security. We're going to talk about politicians who are running out of time to try to make things right. Let's start with the national security. Donald Trump has a lot of fans, amazingly, but they don't include his former vice president. They don't include many of his former cabinet secretaries, and they don't include hundreds of national security leaders who see him as a serious threat to global stability. We're going to talk to Ambassador Miriam Shapiro, a former U.S. trade representative with experience ranging from negotiating trade deals to peace deals, about that group's message. Also, Up North News gets the first word from the Harris-Walz campaign on a new ad featuring Governor Tim Walz outlining a rural agenda with a clear contrast to Trump's record. Because whether it's Republican legislators suddenly claiming to be bipartisan deal makers, you know, your Dewey Strobel's, your Pat Snyder's in Marathon County or whatever, or a congressman like Derek Van Orden, who accomplished nothing given a plum assignment on the House Agriculture Committee, there's very little that they can say or do in these final 3 weeks of the campaign that can undo 2 years of choosing to play political games rather than solve problems. From a legislative standpoint, we're going to talk to Marathon County Assembly candidate Yiling Zhang. And from a rural standpoint, we're going to talk to Mike Strands from the National Farmers Union. He joins us along with Hans Breitenmoser. And it's all about providing voters with better options. All that and more along the way. And, of course, you can join the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Call that number or send us a text message on there. We get it here. And if we see that, may put it up on screen and respond to it or put a comment on one of the Facebook or YouTube pages where you can find us. It is a chilly one across Wisconsin today. Again, always that reminder to bundle up the kids at the bus stop here. Let's see, where did my temperatures go? Wouldn't that be funny if I put all those in and they disappeared? Here they are. Lake Wissota, 30 degrees right now here. Hayward, 32. Wausau, 35. La Crosse is at 37 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, 35. Amory, 32. Madison, 35. It's 41 at Mitchell Airport in Milwaukee, and it's 36 in downtown Waukesha, where we find one Greg Bach, who has not given up on the Brewers. He's got a Brewers t-shirt on today, or it's laundry day, and you got to go for the stuff you normally wouldn't be wearing. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Can't they both be true?
Yes, they can.
I don't know. Pitchers and catchers report in a few months. In my brain, then it's just a few months away. There's nothing else happening. Nothing in America is happening. All I'm focused on are the reporting of pitchers and catchers. We're fine, Pat. Everything's fine.
Now I feel bad because I do, from starting with the final out of the World Series, I look up the date when pitchers and catchers report, and I know that date, and I start doing a countdown. I don't have that yet because of the
February 12th.
All right, there we go. Well, look at that. 4 months from the other day. So less than 4 months.
My goodness.
Oh, it's going to be a long winter. I don't know that you saw the highlights of the Jets-Bills game, but Aaron Rodgers can still throw a football.
Great.
He can still throw a Hail Mary into the end zone to Alan Lazard and have this amazing catch for a touchdown. But Aaron Rodgers can still throw the football into the hands of the other team. And that's how the game pretty much ended, with the Jets losing to the Bills by 3 points yesterday. So
do you think
Rodgers to Lazard, still a thing, but Rodgers still throwing the INTs, that's a thing too.
Do you think when he throws the ball now, he's like, there's a hollow earth and they're all lizard people?
Could be. Wouldn't it be great if you could just spin that football the way he spins conspiracy theories, yeah. You know? And then I am not completely up to speed on the baseball playoffs. So I think the Mets and Dodgers are tied at one game apiece in the National League Championship Series. And the Yankees beat the Guardians in game one of the American League Championship Series. So we're really close to having the possibility of an all-New York World Series, the Yankees versus the Mets. Yay!
I guess I feel like I'm contractually obligated to root for the Mets, even though I really don't want to. Because I cannot vote. I cannot root for the Yankees.
Okay.
I don't know.
I guess I'm ambivalent. the first three teams that made it in, you know, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, they're the three teams with the biggest payrolls, $300 million. Yeah. You know, so then you got the Guardians. I mean, so that's kind of where I am, is, you know, Cleveland with Stephen Vogt as the manager. And so I'd love to see that. But I also know, you're going up against Goliath. So, consider the source here as we talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. That's as close as we're going to get to a full sports update for today. A lot of the other Wisconsin teams will be getting busy later in the week. It is going to be, it's already started out to be, an incredibly busy week around Wisconsin. You had Vice President Tim Walz coming to Eau Claire and Green Bay yesterday. You had Governor Tony Evers and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer beginning a bus tour that included a meetup with Governor Walz in Green Bay yesterday. You had First Lady Jill Biden in the Madison area. You had Bernie Sanders in the Milwaukee area. It's just so much going on here. And amidst all of it, the Harris-Walz ticket is putting out some new information on their rural agenda, and it includes a new radio ad targeting rural voters across battleground states, talking about Governor Walz's rural roots and Vice President Harris's vision for the future, drawing a very stark contrast with Donald Trump and Project 2025 and all that it would rain down upon rural America. In the ad, Governor Walz says, you know, in a small town, you don't focus on the politics. You focus on taking care of your neighbors and minding your own damn business. He says that Trump and J.D. Vance, they don't think like us. They're in it for themselves. He talks a bit about the Project 2025 agenda to give Trump the power to do whatever he wants, which includes rip away your health care like he tried last time, raise your taxes, gut Medicare and Social Security. It's an agenda that nobody asked for, Wall says in the ad, which will play on 75 rural radio stations throughout the state, reaching more than a quarter million likely voters who don't live in the major cities and suburbs of Wisconsin. And it's worth noting the Walls campaign, the Walls people ad, that some 600,000 predominantly rural Wisconsinites, more than 10% of the state's population, actually live in Minnesota media markets, the Twin Cities and Duluth, and they're familiar with Governor Walls from seeing all the Minnesota news coverage. They know that he has spent 12 years representing a rural district in Congress. He worked to pass three farm bills. Derek Van Orden hasn't even done one yet. He expanded veterans' access to crop insurance, to farm education, to job training. He enacted legislation to improve veterans' care. As governor, he helped shepherd through the biggest investment in broadband infrastructure in state history. And you'll be hearing more about the Harris-Walls agenda for rural America and for rural Wisconsin later today and in the coming days. But that all starts with new radio ads on rural stations that Up North News was told about first, and we're happy to pass along the word to you about that. Looking at some of the other headlines going on, we talked to Jody Habish-Sinikin last week as part of her state Senate race. She's running against incumbent Republican Dewey Strobel in the northern suburbs around Milwaukee. And that race has already now set a record that I once thought I had for the most expensive state Senate campaign back in 2006 when I was running against incumbent Republican Dave Zien. And at that time, it was a little weird to hear that to win that race, I would have to raise $250,000. Well, we did it and won the race. The numbers have only grown since then, like a lot. Keep in mind, a state senator makes $57,408 a year. That is not what this race is adding up to. It's not a $250,000 race anymore. Records show that the candidates, along with outside groups, have already spent more than $2.5 million on this one state Senate race in the 8th Senate District. And it probably won't even determine control necessarily of the Senate, because not all the seats are up for grabs this time around. But it would be a huge victory for Democrats to flip that seat as Democrats push to possibly flip the assembly. And it's all because of fairer maps, which only happened because so many people showed up to vote in an April election for state Supreme Court sometime back. And you're going to be asked to do that again next April. There's going to be another state Supreme Court seat that is going to blow away any other existing campaign records, because it will be conservatives' only chance to take back control of the state Supreme Court for at least 3 years afterwards, by the time another progressive justice is up for re-election. So your vote matters. It's very clear. And if you want to learn more about that race in the 8th District or what is closer to home by you, you should take a look at some voting guides that we've put together for you at Up North News. You can check ours out at upnorthnewswi.com. And for Civic Media, Dan Schaefer has put together a breakdown of all 115 legislative races. You can read about that and much more at the voting guide over at civicmedia.us. When we come back, we're going to play a couple of clips from a Donald Trump rally in Pennsylvania last night. It wasn't really a rally. It just became weird and bizarre and featured Trump just standing in place for 30 minutes, swaying to the music. Seriously, details next. You're up north.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax.
on everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash.
I know every Gen X listener right now has been transported back to childhood and watching Sesame Street as Oscar the Grouch sings his signature song. Why? Because, Greg, it's National Grouch Day. That's in today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. Maybe it doesn't apply to Oscar specifically, but can you think of another more famous Grouch?
Oh, yeah.
No, let's not get you in trouble. No. I withdraw the question. I'm sorry. In today's Up North News Daily Newsletter, it's National Cheese Curd Day. That's in our history lesson as well. Some notes about the humble curd. And also from something buried deep within Project 2025, put together by a coalition of right-wing groups, ways that air travel would become much more expensive because of programs that help make sure that places like Eau Claire and Green Bay and Wausau have some kind of passenger air service. You take that away, you're going to increase transportation costs. You're going to increase business costs. Learn more in our newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner of the homepage and become part of our newsletter audience. Badger football plays next at Northwestern this coming Saturday at 11 a.m. You can hear the game on stations including WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. All right, how do we explain what happened in Pennsylvania last night at this Trump rally? I think the best way to do it is through a tweet-by-tweet description put together. There are some journalists who are still on that dumpster fire we used to call Twitter, and one of them is journalist Aaron Rupar. He puts together the public notice newsletter that you could subscribe to, and he follows a lot of these rallies and speeches and things, and then puts up clips and describes things as they go along. And it was just such a bizarre scene in a community called Oaks, Pennsylvania, where the building was clearly very warm and there were some medical emergencies as people, you know, took ill from the high heat in the building. So that was part of the disruption. But first, before you could even have that, to set the scene for reasons I can't possibly fathom, Trump decided that South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, you know, the one that likes to brag about shooting her dog, she took the stage to do part of the introduction and kind of moderate what was supposed to be a town hall. And, you know, she is, let's just play, this is a short sample of Kristi Noem putting her true personality on display.
I know that you all embrace being the city of brotherly love, but I'm going to get real with you right here. Kamala Harris sucks, right? She sucks.
Real classy, that lady, the sitting governor of a state. But then you'd also notice if you watched more of it, she is such a devotee of Donald Trump that, you know how in Trump's speeches, Greg, he always talks about he pretends that there are these conversations and people call him sir all the time. Sir, this and sir. Well, sir, we can't do it that way, sir. That was Kristi Noem last night. She dropped the word sir so often in there. I was a little worried about her welfare, to be quite honest. So deferential. Just weird.
Yeah,
but that was just the setup for the main course. In comes Donald Trump, and I'm not going to play a lot of these long and rambling clips. Just this first one kind of captures things about a presidential candidate forgetting when Election Day is. For his sake, I hope not too many of his supporters follow his advice on when he should go vote.
I'll tell you, if everything works out, if everybody gets out and votes on January 5th or before, you know.
January 5th, Greg? Yes, no?
I mean, just be happy that it wasn't. We're not voting on November 6th. What do you said? Get out there and vote on January 6th. Be like, oh, I love that date.
Oh, there's actually a story. A Michigan Republican says it was a proofing error that led to an ad in a black-owned newspaper that listed Election Day as November 6th. I'm sure it was just a typo. I'm sure there was nothing suspect about that at all.
That's nothing new. That happened all the time during the Obama election. There were door hangers giving the wrong days and times and whatnot, giving misinformation to black neighborhoods around Milwaukee. We're like, okay, that's how we're going to play it, huh?
Uh-huh, yep. So back to the town hall, Trump taking questions, which really just set him up to deliver parts of his rambling regular speech. A woman asked him about his plan to bring down grocery prices. He ended up ranting about migrants taking black jobs and Hannibal Lecter. And by the way, there's no statistic whatsoever that shows immigrants taking black jobs. He went on to say that he's now advising immigrants to just cross the border illegally to become citizens. Not really sure why. He talked a lot about guns to Kristi Noem, the irony being lost that she's the one that likes to talk about, you know, shooting her dog. Then there was the first of a couple of different medical emergencies as people passed out from the high temperature. And so Trump had them play Ave Maria for a time until the person could be taken out. But then there was a second medical emergency. Again, they just played music. Trump called for music to be played over and over again. And then out of the blue, Trump just decided to wrap up his town hall. Just decided to wrap up and said, let's just play music. And so they started to play music. And Aaron Rupar writes, deeply bizarre scene. And then he says, now they're playing It's a Man's 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 World while Trump is just bobbing around on stage. Words fail me. He then takes the mic again and tells the crew to play YMCA nice and loud. And they do. But he doesn't leave the stage. Then some religious music plays and he continues to stay on the stage. Sinead O'Connor, he continues to just weave around to the music. Guns N' Roses. And then he finally leaves after 39 minutes of standing in place while music played. For whatever reason, rather than take questions or speak or get the election date wrong again. Ambassador Miriam Shapiro talks about the dangers of a Trump presidency next. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Frustration and disappointment continue to mount for those poultry producers that are caught in the Pure Prairie Poultry Company meltdown. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning, looking at what's happening in agribusiness news. So Pure Prairie Poultry Company basically shut down last week and left about 50 poultry producers in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa in the lurch, not paying feed bills, not coming to get the birds. And that is when Terry Fila, a poultry producer in Mondovi, took action. He's had to feed over 60,000 birds, and he said he's not been able to do it for 9 days now. He says the frustration of going to both the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, as well as farm organizations, has been disappointing. Finally, he said, they've turned to an animal rights group to try to get the birds moving.
Yeah, Dad Cap, I call him, well, can't you buy the feed yourself? Well, obviously, if I could have bought the feed myself, I would have had feed there. But I can't. I am flat broke. They owe us $100,000, and we don't see no relief coming. We've got electric bills coming. We've got gas bills coming. $5,000-$6,000 electric bill for the last how long? I mean, they starved us growers for 2 months, and now all of a sudden they thought it was okay to starve the birds for the last 9 days. Why didn't the USDA step up and go to the feed mills and say, hey, we're working on something. Get these guys feed. We'll get you the money. Just be patient with us so we can work on this. Let's get something done. Let's stand up like Minnesota and Iowa have. Hats off to them states. I'm ashamed of living with Wisconsin right now.
Terry Fila, one of the disgruntled poultry producers in Mondovi, on the hook for hundreds of thousands of dollars of feed bills for the birds, and now ultimately trying to find a way to give birds away just to keep them alive.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com. Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
This morning, the December corn's down 2 at 4.06. November beans down 8 at 9.87. December wheat down 6, 5.79 a bushel. There's just a quick snapshot on the markets for this morning. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A little chilly again today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 48 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear and cold, our low 23. Tomorrow, sunny, becoming breezy, 57 by Thursday, sunshine with a high climbing back up to near 65. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Ann Egan Walkoff from Wisconsin Native Vote.
20 years ago, I moved to a suburb of Milwaukee. I went to register, and the woman was like, you're Indian? Indians don't vote. You can't vote.
What?
So when I'm talking to a group of Native Americans, did I tell them that story? And they're like, what? And that gets their dander up. And I'm going to go
yeah,
vote for sure.
Absolutely.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 10:33. Hour number 2, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
The group National Security Leaders for America is made up of hundreds, approaching 1,000 different national security leaders who have signed on to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris in the presidential campaign, having had experience in one form or another with Donald Trump's first term in office and the dangers of a potential second Trump term. Ambassador Miriam Shapiro was part of that bus tour. We talked to her a couple of days ago about her extensive experience and how it informs her opinion on supporting Harris over Trump. I started by asking her, you don't have to do this bus tour. You don't have to speak out like this. Why are you doing it?
Well, I should say, it's always easy to entice me to come to Wisconsin because my daughter lives in Milwaukee, but I'm here today for a very different purpose, as you alluded to, and that's to help highlight the risks to our democracy that Donald Trump poses were he to return to the White House, and what each of us can do to help make sure that that doesn't happen. So what brings us, all of us today, there are about 30 of us to Wisconsin, is really our concern about democracy. And we started in Philadelphia, cradle of liberty. We drove on a bus, as you said, across Pennsylvania, into Michigan, and then into Wisconsin. And we are absolutely right, about 700 of us signed the letter. Our numbers have grown since then because of the attention that that letter got. And today we are now more than 1,000 former national security leaders, both military and civilian, bipartisan, committed to doing what we can to ensure that American democracy endures and thrives.
And look, you know, you've heard this enough from folks. There are many people who still cannot believe that Donald Trump has something like 46%, you know, support out there in the country. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of them will say is that these concerns are overblown, that the nation survived his first term in office, as mm-hmm. bumpy as it was. What's different this time? How would a second Trump term mm-hmm. be different? And how would you address those concerns that you're making too much out mm-hmm. of this?
Well, a couple things. Pat, first of all, we have seen the first Trump term and how COVID nearly decimated our country, how a trade war with China ended up hurting our farmers and our workers. We saw the disrespect for our military. Former president called anybody who served suckers and losers. And again, we are 1,000 former admirals, generals, ambassadors, senior foreign service officers, and more. Our members have served at the highest levels of American national security service. And so we care deeply about the future of our democracy and our fundamental freedoms. That's what we all took an oath to uphold when we joined the service, whether it was civilian or military. And even though we have stepped out of our active roles, that is an oath that we continue to take very, very seriously. And so when we look at the political landscape today, we see our fundamental rights are on the ballot. You know, the ability of women to control their bodies, for example, our voting rights, all kinds of rights are on the ballot now. Second, our ability to grow our economy and the middle class, to continue the progress that we have seen the last few years. You know, we have seen millions of jobs created under this administration with Kamala Harris as vice president. And so to contrast that with thousands of jobs, hundreds of thousands of jobs that we saw lost under President Trump. So it seems to us that this choice is pretty clear, that this election is about leadership, about character, and about commitment. And Kamala Harris is the only candidate for president that aces that test.
I want to talk about trade for a moment, because mm-hmm. you did serve as a deputy U.S. trade representative and acting U.S. trade representative. And you already alluded to something, and I want to get your expertise in that area, and yeah. that is with trade. We've talked on this program several times about mm-hmm. Trump's earlier trade war with China, what that did to Wisconsin farmers and other agricultural producers. We've talked about, the soybeans that could no longer go to China, and China will just find other markets. You're the one who's actually been there on the front lines of all of this. Mm-hmm. Can you describe both whether I'm missing anything in terms of the damage Trump did the first time around and what it might be like in a second term?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you summarized it very well. The trade war with China was supposed to reap benefits for our economy, and it did the opposite. We lost hundreds of thousands of jobs. We really hurt our farmers. Some of the bigger ones were able to get support, but smaller farmers had a really, really hard time in Wisconsin and across the country. And then there was an agreement struck with China towards the end of the term administration, where China was supposed to buy soybeans and other great U.S. agricultural products and other products, and that never happened. So I think that there was, a serious cost to our economy. And now moving forward, while the vice president has put forward a very sound economic plan, former President Trump's plan seems to consist of slapping tariffs of 10 or 20% on all imports into the U.S. from any country, and also a 60% tariff on all goods coming in from China. The vice president's been very clear that this idea means imposing a new tax on America's working families that they simply cannot afford. And studies have shown that this idea is going to cost families about $3,900 a year. That would be nearly $16,000 over 4 years, because anything you buy that comes from another country is going to be more expensive. And any company, large, small, or medium, and as you know, small and medium enterprises are the backbone of our economy. Those companies, if they're importing anything from abroad to then make a product to export, it's going to be more expensive. So this is really, really going to hurt people, hurt the middle class. And as you know, not only is this akin to a tax, but it's going to be paid equally by everybody, whether they are rich or poor. So it's what's called a regressive tax. It's actually going to hurt lower and middle income people much more, because they can least afford this kind of tariff. And those that have more resources may not notice as much, but it's going to be really rough on our middle class, and exactly the opposite of what Vice President Harris wants to do. So it's a real problem. And it also could lead to retaliation by other countries then saying, oh, you're putting tariffs on our products. We're going to put tariffs on American products. And whether you're making cars, you're raising cattle, you're growing corn, it's going to have really major, challenging, unfortunate implications for the U.S. economy.
We are talking to Ambassador Miriam Shapiro, who served as a deputy and acting U.S. trade representative. She's also served in the State Department with the Secretary of State's policy planning staff. Working at the State Department, you helped negotiate the Dayton Peace Accords that ended the war in Bosnia. So when you hear what Donald Trump's idea is of a so-called peace plan for Ukraine, based in your real world experience and what the vice president would do, again, forgive the framing of a second Trump term, but what does that look like?
That's a great question, Pat. And I think, again, the differences there are really clear. And it was General Stanley McChrystal who wrote in the New York Times, when he endorsed the vice president, that this election really is about character, and character is the ultimate measure of leadership. So when you look at the situation with Russia and Ukraine, we have a vice president that has helped build the coalition of more than 50 US partners to stand with Ukraine as it tries to defend its sovereignty against unprovoked Russian aggression. And to the many voters in Wisconsin, in other states of Central and East European heritage, they know and appreciate all that she has done, and knows that she stands for freedom, for the freedom of Ukraine, and against Putin's intentions to take over large parts of that country. And they also realize that what's critical here is supporting Ukraine so that it can defend its sovereignty. Because if Russia would be allowed to win this war it started, they fear, and rightly so, that Poland and the Baltic republics, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, as well as Finland and Sweden, would be next on Putin's hit list. And you contrast that with what we're hearing and seeing from the other side, and it appears that former President Trump's idea of a deal would be on Russia's terms rather than Ukraine's. And the news that came out this week with him shipping COVID tests for the personal use of Vladimir Putin during the COVID pandemic that was raging in this country, when doctors and nurses and patients didn't have access to tests or to other kinds of critical medical support, and he was shipping things to Moscow, it just makes no sense. And Moscow, by the way, confirmed that this happened. So it's it's not just reporting in Bob Woodward's new book, but it's actually been confirmed. So this is a very difficult situation. It's also been reported that former President Trump had possibly 7 calls with Putin. And in one case, he asked his aide to leave the room so they could speak privately. And this is someone who is out of office, who has no role in foreign policy other than to do something that could be potentially destabilizing.
I want to close with a personal question about the best case scenario going forward, now that we've dwelt on some of the really bad scenarios. And but first, I want to note, we have only scratched the surface of your work in service to your country, as well as with the private sector and with non-governmental organizations. So again, from your wide breadth of experience, in a Harris administration, we might not find ourselves like in a Trump administration, jumping from crisis to crisis to crisis. If things work out the way you'd like them to, what would you like to be doing when you're not having to worry about what your president is saying and doing every day of the week?
Well, I'm doing all I can right now to support our democracy. And I think if Kamala Harris is our next president, as I hope the voters of Wisconsin and across the country will make possible, then I think we will have terrific opportunities to not only try to bring our country together and knit these divisions that have occurred over the last few years, but also continue to be an example of global leadership to the rest of the world. That's a critical role that we have played and that has been restored under the current administration. And going forward, I think the rest of the world would like us, at least the people that I talk to and my colleagues with me on this trip, also talk to many, many people. We hear from our colleagues around the world that they are watching our election really closely and, worried about an outcome that could be destabilizing. And from my perspective, what's so important is that we really think about leadership, about character, about commitment, about the kinds of qualities that we need in a president. And I think that choice for me and for those of us who have come to Wisconsin as part of National Security Leaders for America, that choice is obvious. And it's because of our deep and abiding appreciation for and understanding of America's unique leadership role in the world that we are doing this. Many of us for the first time. So I think it's really a tribute to our military and civilian service and how much we value our democracy. We want to make sure we have done everything we can to preserve it in the next few weeks. The election is 3 weeks from Tuesday. And of course, moving forward. So when I look at this, as my kids used to say when they were growing up, it's a no-brainer, almost literally, because in this case, we have only one candidate who has the brains, the courage, and the character to be our leader and our commander in chief, ready to lead this great country forward on day one.
Ambassador Miriam Shapiro, you've been so generous with your time. Thank you very much for joining us, talking about the bus tour and the many important issues between now and November 5th. Thank you again. Have a wonderful day.
My pleasure, Pat. You take care now.
Coming up, today's history lesson and a visit from Dan Hagen at WJFW-TV in Rhinelander. That's next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. 693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What are you too embarrassed to do alone?
I can't go into the library without a date.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm no loser.
Grocery store.
Yeah.
You prefer to do that alone.
Absolutely.
When I used to go with my roommate, he would take longer than me, and I'd be sitting in the car with all my groceries for like 20 minutes.
I can't even shop with my wife. She's browsing, and I respect that, but I can't do it. I'm a mission guy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We could just, you know, play Four Tops tunes all morning and have a much better show, but apparently I'm contractually obligated to continue to yap at you. But I will tell you that the Four Tops had the number one song this day in 1966 with the Reach Out and I'll Be There. Also in today's history lesson, you know it as LaGuardia Airport in New York. Its original name was the New York Municipal Airport, and it was dedicated this day in 1939. Our guest, Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV, will be here in a moment. But first, because he's too young to appreciate this next one, I'm going to play this tune, the number one song this day in 1977, by saying, it's been stuck in my head since yesterday when I put this all together. For some of you, whether you know it or not, it's going to be stuck in your head the rest of the day. You're welcome. Here's Debbie Boone.
So many nights I'd sit by my window.
Now, Dan Hagen, Greg Bach, you may not believe me. I promise you, there are some of us Gen Xers out there that are hearing this right now going, no! Because you know what? It is going to stick. Trust me. I've been there for the past 24 hours or so. Dan Hagen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I've never heard this song. I don't know if that breaks your heart.
God. You are a lucky, lucky man. Greg, you're kind of in the in-between zone here. Debbie Boone, you light up my life?
Oh, I'm a young Gen Xer. I remember this song from... You've heard these wonderful songs throughout the years, but they're all here on one compilation, the original songs from the original artist. Debbie Boone, you light up my life, because having Pat Boone's father means you're going to work, kid.
Without a doubt. Now, the historical note about this is, I mean, this thing caught fire. To that point in 1977, no song had ever been a number one song for 10 straight weeks. And it was. And some have broken the record since then, but that was just how popular it was. I don't know if it was just something lovey-dovey in the midst of all the disco or what, but there you go. I know I've terrorized at least a couple of you out there for the rest of the day. Birthdays today include Chris de Burgh. He's 76 years old today.
Now, let's talk about this jam.
Would this be your You Light Up My Life?
Or? Well, this was one of those, you know, listening to another... There's radio station I listened to all the time when I was a kid because I didn't control the radio. And this song was in high rotation back in them days.
I'll bet.
Well, I can just imagine an 80s movie and you're at a prom and this is the movie that plays. That's just like what instantly went in my head.
Also,
I just feel...
Go on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you're going to hear Couples Skate, everyone. Couples Skate.
Roger on You Light Up My Life notes from Stevens Point, we were tortured with singing this in seventh grade chorus. I had chorus in seventh grade. Dan, where's your singing musical theater experience? Anything like that?
Yeah,
because I assume everybody in TV was a theater kid at some point or something like that.
You know, I wasn't theater, but my mom made me do boy choir for too many years, and that kind of soured my experience. But now I look back on it and, you know, I can sing pretty good in the shower. So I think I'm grateful ultimately.
Okay, well, make a note of that for a future episode. Let's see. The other birthdays today include Richard Carpenter is 78 years old today. Emeril Lagasse is 65 today. And Sarah, Duchess of York, is also 65 years old today. On this day in 1984, in the midst of the urban cowboy fad, along came the Judds, a mother-daughter duo from Kentucky, who were wonderful throwbacks with their debut album, Why Not Me, with this title track.
You've been looking for love all around the world. Baby, don't you know this country girl's still free? Why not me?
And I have a feeling that somewhere up in Dan's neck of the woods, there are still radio stations that will play nothing but, you know, 80s country, 80s, early 90s country on a continuous loop that you can't escape.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. I just said that's their style.
Yeah, that's good country. There's a lot of country stuff. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Hoday Country Music Festival, but
yep.
It's a blast. So even I don't like country, but I still like that festival.
On this day in 1988, UB40's cover of a Neil Diamond song hit number one on the Billboard charts.
I know this one.
Oh, yeah. Another fixture of 80s radio.
On this day in 2008, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had one of their biggest drops in history, dropping 733 points. I add to bookend this that yesterday the Dow set another record high. That's all we're saying about the Biden administration. Ain't done nothing but set new records on Wall Street. This is Global Handwashing Day. This is I Love Lucy Day. It premiered this day in 1951. This is Pharmacy Technician Day. We've already mentioned this is National Cheese Curd Day and National Lemon Bar Day and National Grouch Day. Dan, you're giving me the impression from what you said earlier, Grouch Day is celebrated every day by you before you get that first cup of coffee.
You know, that's exactly right, Pat. You know, those like really kitschy, you know, mugs that say, don't talk to me before my coffee.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think that was kind of based on my life. So we got first cup for sure.
What's your work hours there? What time do you normally show up at the TV station?
So I usually get there around 10, which is kind of nice. Like I do 10 to 6:30 about. I do the 4, 5, and 6 o'clock newscasts.
Oh, by that time, you're so fully caffeinated and you're a pleasure.
I am
you're
ready to go.
Joy to see on TV.
I do some exercising in the morning, and I try to get after it. So.
And yet you joined us at this early hour, apparently with just enough caffeine to be wonderfully pleasant. Thank you so much, Dan Hagen. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
There's Dan from WJFW TV News Watch 12. Got a very busy second hour ahead for Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, we'll talk scary trolley tours in Door County with Carl Sarecki. And our favorite paranormal investigator, Todd Michaels, joins the show to talk ghost stories that are non-trolley related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Here's a community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North. The Hayward Community Food Shelf is available for you each first Saturday of the month. Located at the Hayward Community Food Shelf at 16216 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. Again, the food shelf is available the first Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. Another community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.